This week, coming down the road, I just had the thought come on my mind and my heart about counting the cost. And Lord willing, that's what we're going to preach on this morning. But you know, when you consider counting the cost of something, you have to consider the value. You know, obviously, a lot of people this week are going through things. We got a lot of people in our church who need prayer. You know, there are families that need prayer, and sometimes we've had so many things happen really in the past 3 or 4 months, and then other things happen, and don't forget about those others. Counting the cost means considering the value of what's important, the value of what you need to do and why you need to do it. Of course, we got tons of scripture here this morning. But as I pulled my notes out and I began to study about this week, I ran across some notes from where I went to a graduation for high school a few years ago. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it might have been Matthew's graduation. There was a lady there. Her name's Miss White. She was a fine lady, principal of school. And every one of them that came by, she would touch them on the chest or the arm or the head, and she would speak to them and she would say, "Keep Jesus in your heart." And if y'all don't know this already, I'll tell you, every kid that goes to the Christian school is not a saint. Sometimes they go to Christian school because everybody else has kicked them out. Just the way that it is. Sometimes they go to Christian school because mom and daddy love them so much they've counted the cost, and just to be honest with you, they're willing to sacrifice to do it. It's not for everybody. It doesn't work for everybody. And that wasn't intended at all to bring any conviction, because that's up to you and it's your personal thing. But I remember when we were there, there was one young man that walked down the podium, and he walked over to Miss White, and she put her hand on him and said, "Keep Jesus in your heart." And the comment he made to her is, "Don't preach to me, Miss White." He didn't want Jesus in his heart. But there was another young lady that walked over, and when Miss White spoke to the lady, a young lady, she said, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it right." And what she meant was she had a plan for her life, and she was going to work that plan, and she was going to live her life to honor God, even though it cost something. Because, you know, as these young people graduate from high school, and Brother Allen, we've had a lot graduate in the past 5 or 6 years. They got to make decisions. Am I going to go to school or not go to school? Going to school costs you something. Costs you money, costs you time. And sometimes it costs you talents. What do you mean? Well, it means you can't do the things that you want to do. But you make decisions about your life and how you're going to move forward. And I'll tell you something. It doesn't matter if you're 16 or you're 106. You still got to make decisions. And the most important thing when considering the cost and understanding is how I ponder these thoughts in my mind. It's what helps this young lady is she had a relationship with God. And whatever she did, she was going to honor the Lord with it. I heard a comment recently, and I mentioned it, I think, a couple of weeks ago teaching, is that the whole duty on this earth, why are we here, is to glorify God, number one, because you are His child, and to live your life in honor and glory of Him, but to enjoy a relationship with Him. I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 13, then I'm going to Luke chapter 14, and we're going to try to set the stage for this scripture as we get down into Luke chapter 14 and read some things about counting the cost. But I want you to understand what's very, very important is your personal relationship with God. God wants to be first in your life, and He wants to be above everything else. I want to tell y'all something, and I know this is true of everyone here. I love my family. I love my wife. She's a good woman. I love my children. There's a lot of things that I care about. I love my grandkids. But the most important thing in a relationship is I need to have the right relationship with God. And God's Word teaches us that we ought to love Him first. And what's going to really help you be able to love and do the things in your life that you're supposed to do is have your relationship with God right first. You see, you say, you mean I'm supposed to love God more than I love my wife and kids? Well, yes. Because it's a different kind of love. You see, God gave them to you, and He gave them to you because He loves you, and He might have even gave you to them because He loves them. But the only thing that never, ever, ever fails or changes is God. Sometimes people change. Sometimes people fail. But God doesn't. In Matthew chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 44, just a couple of verses, it says this. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure that's hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, and who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, if you read that, and it talks about the field, and it talks about taking everything that you have, or the pearl, and taking everything that you have, what he did is he understood the value, and he counted the cost, and he made an effort to go after that object. But the whole purpose of the Scripture is not to get us to be thinking about a piece of property or thinking about a piece of jewelry, but understanding what's really important. To get us to understand that for us to have the right relationship with God, we must forsake everything to follow Him. Doesn't mean you can't have anything else. It just means that nothing else can be in first place. In Luke chapter 14, in verse number 25, this is our text scripture, and it's about counting the cost. The scripture says this, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, speaking of Christ, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, there is a cost to follow Jesus. And what this is really trying to get us to see and understand is that you must love Him first. Back over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 22 in the 34th verse, it begins to tell us, if we go down, let's read the 37th verse. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. To love the Lord and to love Him first. Now, when we look at this scripture and we read it, it's sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, it's a little hard to understand because it says in the 26th verse in the 14th chapter of Luke, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life also cannot be my disciple. You think, well, how can that be? Does God expect us to hate our loved ones? Well, that's not what it means at all. If you look at the word and you understand it and you look at its root, it comes from the root word, a Greek word, meseo, which means to love less. And what God is trying to get us to understand is that He was first and He has to be first. You know, I got saved by the grace of God when I was 12 years old, and it was personal. I couldn't get it from my mother or my dad. I had to get it for myself. And, you know, years of my life went on of me praying, seeking God's will, trying to do some of what I mentioned in this young lady, that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it right. And I began to seek that God would send the right person into my life. And God sent my wife, and I felt like she was the right person. Felt like it was God's will that we be together. Then there were times that come along throughout the years of our life, every child that we had, we would talk about it. And our kids are pretty spread out. And we felt like it was God's will that we have that child. I was getting older, and she mentioned something about another one. And I felt like it was God's will that we have that child. But you know, I want you to understand something. I knew God before I knew them. That's not the case for everybody, but the way that our relationship with God works is He's got to be first in our life. What He's telling you here, if you don't love me first, you can't be my disciple. A disciple is a learner. That's a person that's in a relationship with God, that God is teaching you and directing you through the paths of your life. If we understand a right relationship with God, I'll tell you that there's no way that I could be the dad that I'm supposed to be or the husband that I'm supposed to be if my relationship is not right with God first. What about He said you must love me more than your own life? And what He said in the 27th verse is you must bear your cross. When we think about bearing the cross and we think about sometimes what we face in our lives, and I've thought about this a lot this week and I mentioned it to someone, and certainly over the past couple of years, how many of us today are dealing with things that 2 or 3 years ago, we had no idea. Some of us had no idea that we'd be sitting here and the love of our life would not be sitting beside us. Some of us had no idea that we'd be sitting here and we would be experiencing some of the hurt or the pain or the challenges or even the call of God, that God would speak to you and tell you that He's got a path that He wants you to walk down. And you think, there's no way in the world I can do it. And then all of a sudden, God's grace and God's power begins to work in your life. There is some sitting here in this church today that 2 or 3 years ago, you did not have a relationship with God because you had never prayed to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know. Somebody asked me about my plans this morning. I've got to the point that my idea and my thoughts of my plans has slowed down, because I'm trying so hard to hear from God. Because things sometimes don't go the way that we want them to go. You see, what may happen in a relationship with God, when you put God first and you're willing to carry your cross and obey the Lord, is God may send you where you never thought you'd ever want to go. He may ask you to do something that you never thought you'd be able to do. When I look at this and I think about Jonah, and he's over here and he's doing his own thing, he's minding his own business. I don't know if he was fishing or if he was hunting or he was building a garage or whatever, but I tell you what he was doing is he wasn't thinking about going down to Nineveh and preaching a message. And God spoke to him and said, you go down there and you preach to those people. He said, I'm not going. He ran, he got on a boat, thought he was getting away. But you don't run away from God and hide. Because everywhere you go, whatever you're doing, the eyes of the Lord are in every place and He sees you. Sometimes Christianity, when you really decide that you're going to surrender to God, it's challenging. It's not difficult to be saved, it's easy to be saved. But the Bible teaches us that you're bought with a price. You're not your own. C.S. Lewis penned these words. He said, "The problem with Christianity is not that it has been tried and found wanting, but that it has been found difficult and left untried." I heard a story just a couple of weeks ago of a little boy who went, knocked on the neighbor's door. The bully come to the door, punched him in the nose. I believe it was Brother Roger that told the story. The little boy left with a bloody nose, went home. But he couldn't get this young man off his heart. You ever had anybody on your heart or something that God told you to do and you didn't want to do it because it was difficult? Have you ever witnessed to somebody and they rejected you, they mocked you, they made fun of you, they counted you out, discarded you, did not include you as part of their group because you chose to serve God? But you knew you were doing the right thing. In the story, the little boy came back and the bully looked at him and said, "Oh, it's you again." And the little boy, "Before you hit me, let me at least tell you about Jesus." Now the story goes on, and you heard the story if you were here when Brother Roger preached, but the man that was a bully became a Christian. He became a preacher. He's serving God. But what has God asked you to do that's difficult? If he hadn't asked you to do anything difficult yet, it may be that you haven't counted the cost enough that you've surrendered to him to where he will. Because there might be some challenges in front of you. You see, he must be before your family, he must be before your desires, and he must be before the world. Can I tell you there are a lot of things that put a pull on people in this world? The scripture says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." And then it says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is material wealth or possessions as having a debasing influence. Now that doesn't mean you can't be prosperous. I went to a church one time where the pastor of the church tried to encourage every man in the church to open their own business. And I knew why. Because when you have your own business and you make money and you're serving God, he knew what happened in the offering plate. God doesn't have a problem with you being prosperous. God just wants you to put him before that. Amen. And sometimes when you put him before that and you put God before all the things in the world, what God has the ability to do is come in with a hand that's different than the world, different than the understanding of the world. And let me tell you something, more than your education or your ability, and bless you. That's not what this is about. What this is talking about, putting God before the world, is you must give up the world, you must not be worldly, and you cannot love the world or the things of the world more than you love God. Amen. And really say that you've counted the cost of serving him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And I've got to keep moving. What I want you to think about this. Everything that is in this world that puts a pull on you, that stands as a stumbling block in your way, is nothing but a counterfeit for something God has for you that is better. Everything. You know, sometimes, you know, in our lives we struggle, but what we struggle with is ourselves. I struggle with me. I struggle with the flesh. But I want you to understand something. I have found that serving God is the absolute best possible place to be. You see, God must be before the world, and he must be obeyed. You see, in the 27th verse, he said, "He that doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And if we look at the 28th to the 30th verse, and it gives us the idea or the understanding of building, of the idea of going to battle and not being prepared. And the question is, have you considered the cost? And I want you to think about this for just a minute. Is it worth the cost? Is it worth it? Maybe we should ask ourselves the question, does it really matter if I serve God? Does it really matter if I teach Sunday school? Does it really make a difference if I work in Awana? Does it really matter if I do what God wants me to do rather than what I want to do or what the world tells me to do? Does it really matter if I remain morally pure and wait on the one that God wants me to be with and to marry? Does it really matter if I don't do drugs? Does it really matter if I don't indulge in alcohol? Does it really matter if I come to church? But sometimes I think we have to stop and count the cost, and I want you to understand something. It matters. Psalms chapter number 1 says, blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the path of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight also is in the Lord. And he meditates on him. But he said, the wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind draweth. And he goes on to say that the wicked will not stand in the congregation of the righteous, nor sinners sit in. But God's ways in living for God really do matter. It does matter. And I want to give you just a few points and new things to think about. Because there is a cost, and there is a cost to do, and there is also a cost not to do. What about the cost just first to do God's will? Yes, it could cost you something. Yes, obedience has cost also. It does. Obedience has cost because it could cost you your time. It could cost you your treasure, and you may even lose control of your own life. And I think that's the problem with people. I like to be in control. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife. I know my son likes to be in control. And now he's gone through a situation where he's not able to do the things that he wants to do. There are others in here that are that way. You know, but when you serve God and you turn your life over to the Lord, God may take over your life and He may cause you to lose control to the extent that He's directing your paths and your ways in such a way that all the things that you thought were going to happen and all the things that you thought you were going to do are completely changed. You know, another thing, if you've come to know the Lord and you don't have the fellowship of a good church, it could cause you to lose your friends. You see, because people that don't love God or know God or want God, they don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want you coming back to their group and their gathering and not taking part in the things that you used to do with them and telling them because this God has touched your life. They're not going to want it. That's why we need fellowship here. That's why you need Christian friends. You see, it may cost you something. It may actually cost you the world. But Scripture says in Matthew 16:26, what shall it be profited a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, I understand something as I stand here before you today. As a dad, as a husband, as a co-worker down at my job, and as a pastor, that the way that I live
It has a cost.
And I've counted the cost enough to understand that I believe it does matter how I live for God. It matters because my life influences others. I'm not just my own. And if I don't stand for God and I'm not the man that I'm supposed to be in my home and with my children, folks, there's a cost. You see, there is a cost to do, but there's a cost not to do God's will. And I want you to consider the consequences for the disobedient Christian. You see, disobedience has consequences. So what is the cost or the price of my sin? It affects more than just me. If I act out or I don't do the right thing, it's not just me. I've thought about it. You ever think about it? You ever think about, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, there's too much going on, I'm tired of dealing with it. Have you ever got tired of the traffic and just thought, if I just had one of those big bars on the front of my truck? Sometimes we get to the point that we think we're right there, but the reality of it is, you know what happens when you get to right there? You got to stop and count the cost again, and you get that bar and you move it down where it's supposed to be. And you realize that keeping things right in your life and keeping God in His proper place, it doesn't just affect you, but it affects everybody in your life. See, it's more than just me, and it's actually about more than just now. It's about eternity. Now, folks, I want to tell you, I'm going to pause. It's not late. I'm thankful for eternity. You know why I'm thankful for eternity? Because all my friends have gone to eternity. In a couple of years from now, if we're still here, if I'm still here, and I look out across this crowd, I want to tell you what's going to happen. There are some seats that are going to be empty. Now, we pray that God will send others. Why? Because we want to build the kingdom and the family of God for God's glory. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to stand before God. And every one of us have loved ones. And when we get them on our heart and our mind, our hearts just melt. You see, the things that you do in life, they echo for eternity. And in the Old Testament, there's a verse that talks about the sounding again of the mountains. And I want to tell you, I hadn't seen my dad since 2006, but I can still hear him. I can still see him smile. And I'll see him again. Now, if you're saved, you ain't got to live perfect to go to heaven. Relieved to hear that? But the way you live matters. And if you count the cost and you surrender to God and do the things of God, here's what just might happen, is you may, through your testimony and the way you serve God, help somebody that doesn't know Jesus meet Him. Think about that impact. Think about getting to heaven, and when you're there, somebody comes up to you, whether it be a Sunday school class member, whether it be somebody that was picked up on the bus, whether it be somebody you spoke to on the job or at the gas station, and they remind you, I might not be here if it wasn't for you telling me about Jesus. You see, it's about God, and it's about God's glory. Does it matter? Remember Jonah. God has a way of getting our attention, doesn't He? I want God to speak to me, and when I'm scared or when I want to run, here should be my prayer. God, help me be able to do what You want me to do. Remember David. What about David's life? Unconfessed sin for the Christian will not go unpunished. Nobody gets away with anything. It's evidence that you're saved by the grace of God if the Holy Spirit comes and chastises you. That just means you're saved. Remember Saul. Disobedience will not be rewarded by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You know, something that would be terrible to live with on this earth is to come to church week after week or to try to pray and seek God and never be able to hear or feel God's presence. That's where Saul got. And it got so bad that he looked for alternate guidance. We have the Holy Spirit. Remember Samson. Laying your head in the devil's lap may cost you your power with God. You see, there is a cost. There was a cost in the life of Jonah, a cost in the life of David, a cost in the life of Saul, a cost in the life of Samson. Well, what about this morning and the people that are here? There is a cost for hearing and feeling the Holy Spirit draw you and turning it away. It's the greatest cost that could ever be. Now, I could have costs for my sin, for my failure, and I thank God that He chastens me as one of His children. That just means that He loves me. But you know, the ultimate and the greatest cost could be that you reject the call of God, and in eternity, the Lord look at you and say, "Sorry, I never knew you." You see, the cost of not accepting Christ is this. It's never knowing the fullness, number one, of living life with God's presence. You see, there are people who live on this earth and they think that they've got everything in the world that they could possibly have if they've got this or they've got that or they've got that over there. But man was created to serve God. So inside of you is a God-shaped hole, and if you don't have God in His proper place, it doesn't really matter how much other stuff you'll have. Excuse me, you'll never be completely at peace and have joy. And that's in this life. See, the cost is wasted time, not living for God's glory, not glorifying God, and understanding that your life is not about you, but it's about Him. But what's the greatest cost? The greatest cost would be eternal separation from God. You see, you were designed for eternity where you will spend eternity with the Lord. God loved us so much, He said, "If I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And sometimes when I think about heaven and I think about God preparing it. Now, folks, there's so many things here that I enjoy. I enjoy the spring except for the pollen. I mean, it's beautiful. God's creation is tremendous. I enjoy my friends and my family. I enjoy the little grandchildren, and I really enjoy watching my daughter raise one after paying for a raising. But I want you to think for just a minute. We're almost done. Don't you have a lot of blessings here? Amen. Don't you? Lots of blessings. It's because God gave them to you. Now, when I begin to think about heaven, the Bible says, "Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." Here's what I want you to understand. What God has for you is so amazing. Nothing that you have here that you enjoy and you love is going to be taken away from you. But God's going to give you things greater than you can imagine. I like to say that it's all the good and none of the bad. The bad's here. There is a cost, and sometimes we suffer and sometimes we have pain, but we just keep pressing on following Him. And I'm going to get them to get a song ready, but here's what I want you to understand. For the Christian, the worst day that you ever have on earth, knowing you have even a relationship with God to help you, is the worst day you'll ever have in eternity. Worst day you'll ever have in eternity. Because in eternity, what the Bible says is He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. All things are going to be, they're going to be put behind us. They're going to be passed away. And we're going to enjoy the Lord forever. His creation, His blessings, all the good without the bad. But there are people today that haven't counted the cost, and they think today is as good as it gets. And let me tell you something. For them, it is. It's as good as it gets. Not for me as a Christian. Not for you as a Christian. I'm going to ask you if you would to rise to your feet, and I want you to think about something this morning. As we have a song, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray. Come and talk to the Lord if God spoke to your heart. Have you counted the cost? Have you thought about, I need to know Christ. I need to realize why I'm on this earth and spend my life serving God. Have you ever given your heart and soul to Jesus Christ? Would you like to just come and pray? Say, I don't know how to pray. When your heart gets in the right place, all you got to say is, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Amen. God, I surrender.
Amen.
It's about what's going on inside the heart, not the words that are repeated. I could give you a prayer to repeat after me, but your heart has to be in the right place that you accept God.
Amen.
What about your life? Sometimes the weights and the challenges of life get heavy, and we have to stop and assess what it means to serve God and resurrender our lives to Him.
Amen.
Maybe you just need to talk to Jesus this morning. And we also, as we sing, if you're here and God has spoke to you and you want to come be a part of this church, the doors of Hiram First Baptist Church are open.
Amen.
We want you to be in a place right now that while you're here, while God's presence is here and God's speaking, that you can do business with God in the way that God wants to do business with you. Well, as they sing, just please be obedient to the Spirit of God.